Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to take another look at those Occupy Wall Street protests this morning. It is treacherous to make loose comparisons to other uprisings this year, such as, say, the Tahrir Square protests that brought down a government in Egypt. Back then, you'll recall, and go with me here, the demands of the protesters were unfocused there in the square. The emotions were razor sharp, though. The leaders of the movement were non-existent. The sense of community among the protesters there in Cairo, tangible. It represented a broad cross-section of Egyptian society in the end. And in looking at some of the coverage of the Wall Street protesters, I'm reminded of a particular moment in Cairo months ago when a young man who started a Facebook page, his name was Wael Ghanim, that Facebook page galvanized protesters. He was anointed the new leader of the movement by the global media, and he publicly, in an interview on Egyptian television, he publicly refused to accept the idea he was a leader. In fact, he ridiculed the whole idea before an audience of millions. Here's Micah Sifry, media critic and co-founder of the Personal Democracy Forum, speaking back then about Egyptian activist Wael Ghanim, the unanointable leader.
I find him to be a fascinating new example of leadership in the way in the interview he protests against being made into a symbol or being anointed the leader that is so in tune with the sort of Nets way of doing things. So
Micah Sifry there, media critic. The Nets way of doing things. Fascinating. Is that partly at work in the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations on a completely different scale, of course? But there is a clear sense of community on the street, not a lot of clarity about specific demands, despite media demands that there be specific demands, and no charismatic leaders. Again, despite media demands that protesters disclose all these traditional missions and leaders. So far, Occupy Wall Street has not complied. Joining us now is J.A. Meyerson on the media team for Occupy Wall Street. We're also joined by Ron Christie, former special assistant to President George W. Bush. He's also a fellow at Harvard University's Institute for Politics. J.A. and Ron, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
So, J.A., do you see a comparison with this kind of open-ended, diffuse quality of what happened in Egypt going on here in the United States?
Of course, yeah, and the folks on who are occupying Wall Street take a lot of inspiration from what happened in Tahrir Square. I mean, the point is sort of that we have some people holding down the square, and then the rest of the group is allowed to sort of take that germ that captures people's imaginations and run with it. We are the 99%. The banks got bailed out, we got sold out, this sort of thing. And the message has caught on because of the open-endedness of it.
All right, J.A., just we're going to try to get a media strategy, a more traditional style media strategy from Ron Christie in just a moment. But, J.A., if I'm someone who stumbles upon the demonstration in Lower Manhattan or, say, in downtown Chicago, I'm a, you know, working class person. I'm part of the 99, as you say. What do you hope they take away from that encounter?
I hope they take away the inspiration to organize their own contribution to the movement to liberate the democratic politics of the United States from the corporate control that that has it in a stranglehold.
And you don't care what that is. They could pick up a sign. They could give money. They could go home and start their own rally. They could run for Congress. You don't care what form that takes.
Right, because the point right now isn't to propose changes, right? That's not our job. There are people whose job that is to propose the changes. Our job is to create a crisis in this country so that the people in power are apprehensive about doing nothing about it.
All right, J.A. Meyerson on the media team for Occupy Wall Street. Ron Christie, strategist for Ron Christie Strategies, former special assistant to President George W. Bush. How do you come up with a media strategy for an organization that shuns charismatic leaders, doesn't necessarily want to embrace a program, and prefers this sort of diffuse, amorphous quality?
Well, John, I think politics is always about addition rather than subtraction. In other words, you want to gain more people who are going to come around to your way of thinking rather than lose people. And it seems to me that a lot of what you see in Occupy Wall Street, you're losing public sentiment. You have people who are camping out, people, some who are being disorderly, and many who, frankly, can't even define or offer a clear reason of their purpose other than they claim that they're the 99% and there's only 1% who allegedly is running the country to their demise. So my media strategy, my outreach would be, in order to gain people to your way of thinking, you need to add folks rather than lose them, and they need to find a more coherent message to offer up some sympathy and offer up some support from the American people.
All right, Ron Christie, we're going to get a response from J.A. in a moment. Let's listen to a comment that was made on our program yesterday from Amy Kramer, who's the chairman of the Tea Party Express.
What concerns me about all these people out there, and I absolutely, you know, respect their First Amendment rights and their right to be there, and but what concerns me is they don't have an objective and a goal, and half of them can't even tell you why they are there.
Now, J.A. Meyerson, respond to what Ron Christie said and what Amy Kramer said there. Do you buy that? Is that a problem, or have you actually already achieved that goal?
It's absolutely not a problem. I mean, the fact that Ron Christie thinks that we are losing support is a completely meaningless figure. Nate Silver at the Times just yesterday wrote a piece showing how the movement is gaining support, especially as it comes up against increasing crackdowns from police. The Rasmussen report that was just released shows that a plurality of Americans approve of Occupy Wall Street and more than either party in Congress. And after Mr. Christie's bosses, Mr. Bush and Cheney, were driven into the depths of the worst sorts of public sentiment, I'm not sure it's easy to take his advice as sincere.
All right. Well put there, J.A. Meyerson on the media team for Occupy Wall Street. Ron, we'll give you the last word. Do you think the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street can exist in a kind of parallel universe as we enter the 2012 election campaign?
I think they can. I think the Tea Party represents a very peaceful, lawful assembly of people who really are frankly upset by the size and scope of government. And, you know, being here at the Kennedy School, I'm constantly reminded what President Kennedy said in his inaugural address of ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. And that, frankly, is the advice that I'd give the folks on Occupy Wall Street. Rather than looking for a handout or saying that people deserve to give you things, you ought to look and say, how can I give back to this wonderful country that's given me such a remarkable opportunity to be an American citizen?
All right, Ron Christie, strategist for Ron Christie Strategies, special assistant former to President George W. Bush, J.A. Meyerson on the media team for Occupy Wall Street. Give us your sense. Join this conversation, won't you? 877-8 My Take. Post a comment at thetakeaway.org.